This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The stretch by Finnegan and a 2-0 in the dirt, and there's a stop. Here comes Stott. He'll score! The ball got away up the first baseline. Bryson Stott with a mad dash for the plate, dives head first, and the Phillies have won it on a walk-off wild pitch. 7-6, the Phillies win in the bottom of the ninth inning.
What a night, what a game, what a wild, wild victory for the Phillies. Welcome on in, it is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass, you guys with us. A lot to get to today. The Eagles have picked up the option on Jordan Davis deal. We'll get to that. Drew Elliott, Shore Parks joins us later, Devin Caney later. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, if your pops roll up on the court, your pops going to get that work, man. Mm-hmm. He has to. If he feel that froggy, if he want to lead, then he going to catch these hands. I'm just saying. Giannis should have hit him with a two-piece.
Giannis is pretty mature, though.
Yeah, that was like, mature.
Yeah, he's mature.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the key word in this conversation, being mature. But I'm just saying, that was ridiculous. That was kind of crazy. I know your dad is excited that you won, you won the game, but that was a tightly contested series, man. You can't do that.
No, that was a bad look. And you used the word ridiculous there. Not a good look. I think that all that applies to the Phillies' victory last night.
I like how you tied all
that. What did we just watch last night? That was by far the wildest game of the season. Look, bottom line is they got a win, right? That's the most important thing. They got a victory last night. Good job in the ninth inning by Bohm to get on base. They were aggressive on the bases. A little luck involved there. I don't know how the catcher didn't catch that ball coming in from right field, because Bohm would have been out by 20 feet. But we take it. We
Better
got
be
a victory.
Lucky than good sometimes.
Yes, and look, there was a lot.
And you needed that game.
You needed it, and there was some good. Right, Wheeler pitched really well again. Schwarber got off the power. You know, he was on a little power funk, and he hit a big home run early. Rojas
got that homer.
Yep, what a home run. Trey had four hits. As we checked the box off, saying nice things about Trey, because that might be it for the rest of the day. Hugh, that was one of the craziest games we've had here in a long time, and they got a victory.
And shout out to the young man, in the ninth inning, that was up with the mitt in his hand. He was locked into the game.
Oh, eighth inning. He was rooting for Alvarado, the kid.
Rooting for Alvarado. I had a lot of thoughts going through my mind when I saw that.
Yeah.
Because it was about, 8:39-ish?
Yeah, about that time.
I'm like, why he ain't in the bed getting ready for school the next day?
He had tickets to a baseball game.
That was my thought process. Where are your parents? Young man, where are your parents? And did you go to school this morning? Were you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Will you stop?
Morning? I can't help
it. Leave the young man alone.
I can't help. Kyle, I understand that it was a beautiful night last night, and it was a bunch of kids out last night. But as a parent, because
it's one night.
No, but Kyle.
For relax.
Let me tell you how much school has changed.
Pop. Come on now.
I know I'm being a pop-pop. I know, but still. You get in trouble for attendance nowadays. Like, attendance is a big deal. Not like it was when I was going to school. You can miss, 50 days of school and still graduate.
Where'd you go to school? 50 days?
No.
I want to go to that school.
But still, you only can miss so many days, man, before they start, looking at you sideways. And I was just a little concerned.
Yeah, well, I know where that kid is today, by the way. he's in school ripping Trey Turner for the crap we saw last night. All right, Hugh, I need to get some stuff off my chest.
Get it
today
off your chest,
because
man.
Because I am tired.
That's why you got the microphone.
I'm
go ahead and say what you got to say.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of everyone pretending this isn't a huge deal. I'm just going to put it very simply, because the Phillies obviously don't get the gravity of the situation, so I'm going to try to spell it out for you and for them as quickly as I can.
Oh, watch out, Kyle. You're about to be
no,
on
I'm not,
fire.
I'm not going to yell. I'm going to say it very simply.
Why?
I might yell, but I'm not going to yell right now. I'm going to say it very simply. The Phillies cannot and will not win a World Series with Trey Turner playing shortstop. And the quicker they recognize this, the quicker we can move off of this problem. His offense isn't great, but it's not the problem. It's his defense. He had four hits last night, and I can't wait to yell about the guy today, because the defense we saw in the eighth and then the ninth inning, but particularly the eighth inning, was among the worst defense at shortstop you will ever see. They took a game they should have won comfortably and made it so hard, mostly because of the shortstop. And look, Rojas had an adventure in center field, too. But that play at shortstop in the eighth inning, you could go to any little league field in Delaware County, in Bucks County, in Montgomery. You could pick any South Jersey, and you will find better shortstop play from 10-year-olds. That was ridiculous what I saw in the eighth inning. He cannot play shortstop at a high level. In the last three seasons since he got here, he has made 44 errors. And you know what? They didn't even give him one in the eighth inning last night. They took it away. So it should be 45 errors. He's not a championship caliber shortstop. And Hugh, this is so simple to me. I've been saying this for a long time, but I'm going to say it again today. The Phillies' best shortstop on the team sits the bench 4 or 5 days a week. His name is Edmundo Sosa. They have a problem in center field. They have a shortstop that can't play shortstop, and their shortstop can actually play the outfield. He used to do it. If I were in charge of the Phillies, today I would tell Trey Turner the process begins to play the outfield. I don't know if that takes a week, a month, I'm not sure. But every day before the game, you will go out to the outfield and you will start shagging fly balls until you're comfortable, and then we begin the transition. I can't wait another year. I don't care what they said in the offseason. I can't wait another year. They can't wait another year. I'm done. The quicker the Phillies recognize this, the better off they'll be. Trey Turner needs to move off shortstop. Hugh, what do you think?
How about that Sherbert home run last night? How about that Kyle
Don't
Sherbert?
Don't you try to change the conversation.
I'm not. Allow me to long talk for a minute, Joe, because there was a lot of thoughts that went through my head. And y'all know, normally, in a situation like this, you look at the situation and as a former athlete, professional athlete, you say, hey, we got to win in a game that we had to have. That was my first thought. But watching that inning and watching him first miss the bag. Okay, that was egregious, but I was willing to let that go. But then when he airmailed the ball to home plate, I was like, damn. There was a lot of errors in the outfield last night. There was a lot. And to your point, if you want to win the World Series, you have to be better.
Yep.
There are some things that you could clean up, but that's egregious. You know, and I'm not the one to be knee-jerk or anything like that. But let's be honest. What were you thinking? Like, seriously, like you've had some miscues at shortstop this season and a lot last year, but that one right there, and then the goofy look you had on your face after you did it, like
didn't help.
You were hoping that nobody saw that.
Oh,
everybody saw it.
Yeah,
and I tell you what, bro, this is the thing. You know, it's serious when you hit them with the bro. If they wouldn't have won that game last night, boy, they'd be lighting you up like a Christmas tree today. Seriously.
And well deserved.
Yeah, that was, I've never seen anything like, to your point, when you said 10-year-olds.
10-year-olds.
You know, my son's team is, they're 6 going on 7. They played better outfield than that. It was crazy.
Unbelievable.
It was bad.
It is. And it's not getting better. Look, I know all the stories this offseason. He put in work. He could put in all the work he wants. He's not a championship caliber shortstop. I'm sorry. It's over. Like, Dave Dombrowski could pretend all he wants. Trey Turner could pretend all he wants. Topper could pretend all he wants. It's obvious he needs to move off the position if they're going to win a World Series. And they don't have to listen to me. We could play this out another year. It will cost them, and then we'll do it next offseason. Or they could do it now.
Yeah, that was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. And you know what my first thought was? The first part of that, when he missed the bag, yeah, Joe about to kill him for that.
Well, anyone should kill him for it.
Then the second part.
The throw that went about 5 feet over JT's head. So if JT wasn't an incredible athlete, that ball hits the person in the front row. I mean, that is a ridiculous throw. So, Hugh, on that play, there's multiple options he has, right? Like, he could try to turn the double play and give up the run. Now, that you can make the debate, tie game, all right. So he could have went second to first, double play, run scores, get two outs. He could have just thrown home. It's like a good throw home to cut off the runner. All right. He could have stepped on second and then thrown home. He didn't accomplish any of the options.
That's the thing, Joe. And for me, never played baseball, so I don't know what that high-pressure situation feels like. But for me, it was the look on your face after you did. You didn't do anything that you set out to do, and you're a professional. And I know it happened. Listen, it happens to the best of us. But in a game like that, in that moment, and then when you look at the position that the Phillies are in, you know, they've moved so many parts around to try to make this team better. You can't help but to have that conversation.
You have to. Yeah, you really do.
You know what I mean? I still think Trey has some good ball in him, but you have to start having that conversation.
It's time. 215-592-9494. Look, the Phillies are 28th in baseball this year in turning batted balls into outs. When the ball gets hit in the field, they're 28th in baseball in turning those into outs. A huge part of that is their shortstop. He's not very good. He has 44 errors since he got here. And think about it, how many are not called errors that, like, last that wasn't counted as an error last night. It is. So you could probably add 25 to the 44 where we sit there and like, oh my God, what did he do? Let's hear from Trey Turner after the game last night about his mistakes.
I feel like I've definitely improved, but you know, just dumb mistakes like that is just, you know, just unacceptable. It can't happen, especially on that routine play, you know. So just keep working, kind of move on, I guess. Getting the wins better than, you know, that loss right there. So just flush it and go on tomorrow, get back to work and get with Bobby and see how we can get better.
Well, we could do that. We could flush it, or we could address the problem.
Well, I like that. I like he said that because he understands. Like, the look on his face made me think that he was hoping nobody saw that, and I was like, dog, everybody saw that. But for him to be that self-aware, I mean, that counts for something, but still. He's on the radar. He's definitely on the radar. They probably won't do it anytime soon, Joe, but it's something that you have to look at and start weighing your options to see how you can improve at that position.
They have to. And if every day they don't is a day they're wasting here. Topper after the game on the defensive issues last night between shortstop and center field.
I think Johan misjudged the first ball where he kind of drifted on it to the fence, and then he kind of overplayed the line drive at him. Yeah, Trey, high throw to first base. Really, the play he made in the eighth, where he threw to the plate, was the right play. It's just, it wasn't a very good throw.
Well, that's putting it lightly, Topper. It just wasn't a very good throw. No, it was an awful throw. 215-592-9494. All right, we've beat around this conversation for 2 years, and I brought it up last May, I think it was, that I think Turner should go to the outfield. A lot of people pushed back that day. I'm curious where everyone is today. Is it time for Trey Turner to move off a shortstop? We're past time. This is like looking at someone an expiration date that is way past it. He's got to move. Kyle, where are you at this morning as the Phillies win a wild one in spite of some pretty awful defense last night?
Yeah, whether it's moving to second base or the outfield, I mean, the time to do this was yesterday. It was last year. The team is just barely above 500, and there's too many other issues with the squad as a whole to just let such an easy and obvious fix or a thing that could be so easily and obviously fixed continue for, like, any longer. Like, if they move him to center field, they could fix, like, multiple problems at once. They could fix the Rojas thing, and they could fix the shortstop thing. It's killing the starting pitching. It's making them have to go deeper into games, throw more pitches. It's killing the bullpen, who's not good enough already, and they're not good enough of an offensive team to make up for these things. Like, this is something that...
You got lucky last night.
Right.
If you're being honest.
For some things, with the bullpen, you know, they're probably going to have to wait until the trade deadline to make a serious move to try and fix that. The offense, who knows if they'll ever pull their head out of their ass entirely. But something they can literally do right now is make this move. That could help them win a lot more games this year than... it's going to cost them if they don't do something like now.
Yeah, it's not a position... Like, they've hid Castellanos in right field for the years they've had him. He's not a very good right fielder, but it's right field, right? You could get away with someone in a corner outfield spot. It's not that great. You can't get away a catcher, shortstop, center field.
Yeah, because the game finds you.
Yes.
And it comes quick.
And look, the Phillies have a lot of ground ball pitchers. I mean, Zach Wheeler's a ground ball pitcher. Aaron Nola's a ground ball pitcher. Christopher, he is so important at shortstop. And what drives me crazy is We know, to me, I'd put him in center field. Center field is not a good spot for the Phillies. Whether it's bringing Marsh back, I know your guy Rojas hit the ball last night, but we know he's not much of a player, right? And they have a shortstop on the bench every day, or, I don't know, 5 days a week, and Sosa, who's played well this year, is better than Trey, and he watches the game. It's just like square peg, round hole. It's an obvious solution, and drives me crazy they won't do it. 215-592-9494. Let's have the conversation today. Kyle said it should have happened yesterday. We tried to have this a year ago, and everyone was like, oh, no, he's Trey Turner. He's got a big contract. I don't give a crap about his contract.
Not major league buddies.
He can't play the position anymore. At some point, everyone loses the ability to play what they used to play, right?
Did he ever have it?
I don't know, but he doesn't have it now.
I mean, he had it before. He had it. He played well enough to get $300 million.
Well, yeah. I don't think he's ever been – well, he's never been a good enough shortstop for the Phillies. That's for damn sure.
That's totally for sure. I mean, look, the Dodgers got him, and they said, oh, you're not playing shortstop. But no way, buddy. They put him at second base. It's been a long time since he's been able to play shortstop at a big-time level, and it's time to stop beating around the bush. Move him off shortstop. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Chris, what's up?
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. What day did you think it was?
I didn't know.
You didn't
know? Jody. You tend to run together.
All right, buddy.
Did you not even have a guess? Like, would you have guessed Saturday?
No, I mean, I knew we was in the week. I knew I had to come to work.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
You know, they kind of run together.
Yeah. But days have feels, right? Like,
Monday, because, you know, they kind of get away from you.
Yeah, but Friday has a feel. Friday's a Monday.
Well, Friday is because, you know, y'all get mean on Friday.
That's not true. You just need a gummy. Monday has a feel.
Monday, definitely. I just.
You just didn't know it was Wednesday? Yeah, all right, yeah. Go ahead, Chris. What are you trying to bring
up, Chris.
It's okay, because this is what this Philly team has done. I mean, they've broken Hugh. Listen, first off, a couple observations from last night's game. Alec Bohm, guys, he is possibly the slowest human being ever. And I say ever because I'm not excluding dead people, okay? Because I think there may be a corpse or two out there that could probably run faster than this guy. Like, he is just god-awful slow, and he makes me crazy. But, Joe, here's what I need for you to do, Joe. I need you to stand strong today. I need you to go over into the corner, open the case, and please break out the damn wand. Can we wand Turner out of here?
Like, wand.
I'm so sick of his... absolute abysmal, atrocious. There's not enough adjectives to describe how badly this guy plays shortstop. And his softness and his excuses and Hugh Thompson, I'm tired of his excuses. No more. I mean, I'm done with this guy. Guys, I just looked it up. ESPN ranks 26 of the top shortstops in Major League Baseball. You know what he is? 19. 19 out of 26. And he's falling like a stone, like if we threw Hugh into a pool and watched him sink to the ground. All right? Like, he's got concrete shoes on, going right down. I mean, listen, I'm telling you people out there, you cannot win a championship or win when you are this bad up the middle. You have to be strong. You can't have a trash shortstop and a center fielder that's running around like he's completely clueless. My 10-year-old, it plays better center field and softball than this guy. Hugh's boy, Rohan, getting a lot of strays today, Hugh, but I'm sorry. Then Rohan. Rohan's terrible. He's absolutely atrocious. Here's what I need to have happen. Dave Dombrowski, get your ears on. Bring up Crawford. I'm tired of this trash. And where Trey needs to go, I don't want Trey in center field because he'll act like a bonehead out there too. I don't need that. I need him in left field. Left field, for anybody that doesn't understand baseball, that's where you put your absolute worst defensive player, plays left field. Put him in left field.
Well, and Chris, the Phillies did that forever. I mean, Pat Burrell. We did a full season of Reese Hoskins in left field. I mean, if we could do that, Trey could be a Gold Glover compared to Hoskins.
I need him out there. Bury him in left field. I don't want to see. If I had my way, Joe, I got the wand. I want you to wand him. But if he's got to play somewhere, you put him in the outfield. And you put him out in the outfield. You put him in left field because this guy, folks, ESD.
I think that stinks. think that stinks.
I think that stinks. Chris, we appreciate the phone. They hid the wand on me around here. I don't even know where it is.
They took it away from me.
If I can find it, I'll get rid of the contract. But listen, he's on the team. I recognize that. He's not going anywhere right now. But I can't have him play shortstop anymore. And I understand, and I'm sure someone will say to me, you can't just do this today. Sure. Okay. He hasn't played the outfield on a regular basis in a long time. He did it in the major leagues when he first came up with the Nationals a long time ago. But if there's one thing Trey Turner hasn't declined it with, it's his athleticism. He's still maybe the fastest player in baseball or one of the 10 fastest players. I have no doubt in my mind if you put a glove on him and he takes some reps in the outfield, he can do it. I guarantee he can run around and catch fly balls in the outfield. Yeah. He's done it before, and he hasn't lost any of that speed.
He has the speed. It's just, hey, is that what, baseball acumen?
He doesn't have that.
It's just that was egregious. Like that seemed like a simple bang bang play.
The one issue is some of those throws. I don't know if putting him further back in the field is gonna help.
Well, then he can roll the ball in. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
It was the missing the base is one thing, but it was the throw. The throw was the one that was like, yeah, you might. Joe's about to have a whole field day with this.
I'm telling you, if it wasn't for JT's athleticism, the person in the front row has the ball coming flying at them. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Let's talk to Lauren at Kennett Square. Hey, Lauren.
Hey.
What's up, Lauren?
So, a couple things. Concerned about him, his level of self-awareness when asked after the game about what happened. He said that he has improved, but meanwhile you made two major mistakes back to back. So, like, are you grounded in reality?
No. I think the answer is no.
Yeah, and then concerned maybe with Topper as big egos and personalities. Like, it feels like if anyone else was making mistakes over and over, you would just move them. It doesn't matter what the contract is. Like, we're trying to win a championship here, and it slipped away before. So I think we're overdue to make a change. If he can't deal with the outfield, then he's a DH. I mean, like, figure it out. I don't know.
No, I like the way you said it. Figure it out. And, Lauren, I do think he can handle the outfield. And I think you bring up an interesting point, Lauren. We appreciate the phone call. Hugh, I know they're not all the same, right, and there's different scales of player.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, if I'm – and Alec Bohm's not as good of a player as Trey Turner. But if I'm Alec Bohm, like, you guys benched me. You made me a scapegoat.
Here's the reality.
Alec Bohm has sat next to Trey Turner, stood next to Trey Turner for the last 2.5 years and watched him make 46 errors, like 47 errors. If I'm Alec Bohm, like, what's that?
$300 million.
I know, but how much? At some point, I don't care how much money he makes.
I hear what you're saying, and you're right as a fan sitting here talking to me. But the reality is, in that locker room, money talks.
Well, it talks too much for this team.
And I think we're at an impasse now where, yeah, he makes a lot of money, but there needs to be some serious conversation, because going into this series, you knew that this had playoff implications.
All these early games in the season.
Because it's in the NL East, and you need these wins.
Yep.
It almost, like, the reality is, last night, that game almost slipped away.
And it shouldn't have been close.
It shouldn't have been close.
I mean, they had Wheeler on the mound. He pitched really well. Yeah, it shouldn't have been close.
That's where you have to look at it. And it didn't help that you had two back-to-back. He went back-to-back last night.
Not back-to-back.
He went back-to-back last night. That didn't help anything, Joe.
No, it did not.
That's the one time where it ain't good to go back-to-back.
Yeah, usually it helps to go back-to-back. Not last night. Not in the eighth and ninth inning. At the worst time. 215-592-9494. Is it time to move Trey Turner off of shortstop? Yes, it was time last year. It's time now. The quicker the Phillies recognize this, the better off they'll be. I put him in center field tonight. I mean, figure it out.
He said tonight.
Tonight.
And won't happen tonight.
I know. No, of course they won't listen to me. That's okay. Sosa should be at short. Turner should be in the outfield. Plus, we'll get to something Dave DeBrow he said on the subject back in spring training. Your calls. Is it time to move Trey Turner off a shortstop? 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Left side, they're even with the bags. Sosa a little bit deeper than the baseline at second. Harper on the bag at first.
Wow.
And the pitch to Lowe. Swinging a ground ball right at Turner. He's got it. Thought about stepping on second. Instead, throws wildly home. JT has to come away from the plate. The runner at third goes back, and now the bases are loaded with nobody out. Turner was, it looked like he was inches from second. Did he step on it or not? They said he didn't. The Phillies are double-checking on video to see whether or not he did, and he did not ever get on the bag.
Wow.
Well,
the pause.
I mean, they got exactly what they wanted there.
That was one heck of a play by Real Muto just to catch that ball.
Yeah.
Who knows where it was going.
I love Scott and L.A. together, though, man. I hate that. I mean, I wish if I would have been thinking, I'd have jumped in the car to listen to the call last night to hear what he had to say.
So actually,
these clowns.
I was around the house at that point. I had it in my ear. So when I'm not sitting down, like, for the moment of the game, I just walk around the house with the game in my ear, Scott and L.A. I heard that last night, did not see it.
And so
I was
you ran to the TV?
Well, I was like, I wonder how bad it was. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, my Lord. It was, I understood why L.A. chose to highlight JT's leap to catch the ball. Because it was so far away from him.
I had a chance to watch it.
Yeah, what was the first thing you thought when you saw it live?
I'm not going to lie. I thought about you and Kyle. Because that's how, when I watched the game.
Yeah.
I watch to see what the storyline could potentially be.
Like we're going to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, because that was a tightly contested game towards the end. You know, I'm looking at Twitter. I saw Broads had a picture out there. Shout out to Broads. He just had this look on his face. I guess, I don't know if it was from the pictures.
Broads play shortstop?
I don't know, but here's the thing, Kyle.
Broads play hockey. Like, he can knock that ball down.
Broads had like a shocked look on his face, and it says something about the Phillies, but I'm like, is that a picture that he took earlier in the day? Because, you know, we had to take pictures today. So I'm looking at that play, and like I said, it was twofold. It was missing the bag, and then it was the airmail ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was the, for lack of a better way of saying it, the goofy look on his face, all of that. And I was like, this is a team. Like, I'm all for it. You know me. You can call me company man, whatever you want to call me. Company, Hugh Topper or whatever.
Douglas. You know what I mean? We have a lot of nicknames for you.
But at the end of the day, when I saw that, knowing what this series means to this team,
yeah,
and knowing how it's only one game, but still, it's a game that you should have won. If that would have went the other way, this city would have been on fire.
Shout out, and I don't think we got to in the first segment. Shout out to Alvarado's got guts because
he's in a tight spot.
Turner made a bad situation into almost an impossible. I mean, no outs, bases loaded. I mean, that's
We could avoid that in the future though.
Yeah, I'd like to avoid the whole situation, but we could just move Turner off a shortstop. I'd like to do that. 215-592-9494. Can we also hear what happened in the ninth inning? So it wasn't just the eighth inning; it was also the ninth inning as the wheels came off. Kirkering, who's been a big disappointment this year, gives up the home run, but that was set up by this Trey Turner error.
Now it's a 5-3 game. Here's Ahmed Rosario with one out and a swing and a ground ball deep short. Backhand pick, Turner plants, throws. It's high. Harper jumps, catches, but the tag isn't there. And that'll be another defensive mistake for the Phillies. And now the go-ahead run is going to come to the plate.
So you know what you could hear in that one? You could hear the murmur from the crowd. Like, the first one was like, what just happened? The second one was like, are you kidding me, man? You're airmailing that throw, too. 215-592-9494. I think it's time to move Turner off a shortstop right now. I don't know how long that process takes. If it was up to me, if I was the manager, he'd play center field tonight. Realistically, it might take him and the team a few weeks to get him up to speed. But whatever it takes, I'm starting that process today. Like, before the game starts, if I'm the Phillies, I'm sitting down with Trey and saying, we got to start to transition to the outfield. Get a glove on, and if you tell us when you're comfortable. I would even, in a realistic term, I'd give him a few weeks to get comfortable. Like, if he says, all right, I'll do it. I need a few weeks to shag fly balls, go out there an hour a day just to get get my bearings out there. Okay, we start today, and you tell us 3 weeks, a month from now, I feel like I could do it, then that's the day we do it. But I got to start the process today.
Well, I think the conversation is probably had today. But as far as when you start moving, I don't think it's this series. So for everybody that wants it to happen today, that's probably not going to happen. But you have to have a conversation about how it looked in the outfield. I mean, at shortstop, you got to have a conversation about that. But I don't think anything, to your point, Joe, is going to happen right away. But it's definitely a process.
Well, and that process better begin soon. This hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Elliot's going to join us at 12. We have the Jordan Davis 5th-year contract option, which the Eagles picked up this morning to react to coming up. Devin Caney later on, you people later in the show. I am curious today where the poll goes, because Kyle, I think it was just about a year ago, maybe almost exactly a year ago, we had the discussion if the Phillies should move Trey Turner to the outfield, and that day, most people said no.
Yeah, they were, it was a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
We're morons.
Okay.
I mean, why would we even think of such a thing?
Yes. How about today? Maybe it's a little different today?
A lot different, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually the complete reverse. We did a Should the Phillies Move Trey to the Outfield? May of last year, 75% no. This one's an interesting one, too. And I think this must have been the postseason, or maybe right before last year. The Phillies had a lead late in the game.
Yep.
Would you pull Trey for Sosa for his defense? 66% no. Got crushed for that one, too.
Okay, good.
Yep. But I haven't really seen anybody this time say that no, keep him there.
Yeah. Is it time for the Phillies to move Trey off a shortstop? Early on today's poll, 70% yes. Jim in Westchester is up on WIP. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
Jim. What's up?
Good. Love your show. Real big fan, you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jim. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
I'm sorry. You guys, it's a fun conversation about Trey, but, I mean, honestly, let's live in reality. They're not going to move the man. He's not going anywhere. He's staying right where he is. The problems that they got to really address, I mean, I'm sorry. I cannot stand it. I'm so stressed out. I've been a fan with this team since the 80s, and I have never been this stressed out this early in the season because their bullpen cannot throw a damn strike, and when they do, it gets hit over the fence. And, I mean, the stuff that Romano has put us through, now Kirk Ring, now I'm hearing Strom's arms getting slow. Something's wrong with that. I mean, Alvarado's like the only guy that you can feel good about when he comes in the game. That's the bigger problem. They don't have anybody in the bullpen.
Jim, I agree with you that that's a huge problem. But it doesn't mean the Trey problem's not a problem. I mean, it made things worse last night. I mean, Alvarado gives up a couple hits, but all of a sudden the bases are loaded because Trey forgets where he is.
Well, right. But Kirkring's got to pitch his way out of that. And I'm sorry, he's up on the count on that guy. He's got him swinging at high fastballs. And then he throws his duck, little looper slider that the guy golfs out of the park. I mean, come on. They've got to be smarter about the way they approach how they pitch.
Well, they do. But, Jim, the reality, and I think you realize this, is the bullpen's not good. I mean, how many guys down there do we trust right now? I count two, Alvarado and Strom. And you even mentioned Strom physically might not be where he needs to be. So, we got one guy we could trust? Not great.
Yeah, I mean, Romano had a better outing the last time. I mean, were they really reading his pitches? And then he did something to fix it? And is that what happened the last
maybe.
Time?
Yeah, maybe.
Didn't Topper say something about
tipping,
that?
Tipping pitches. Yeah, I need to see a couple more good Romano outings before I buy the whole tipping thing. I don't know. I mean, I sometimes teams say that when they don't want to admit the guy's not that good. Jim, we appreciate the phone call. All right, so Jim thinks the trade thing isn't the biggest deal. It's a big deal. You can't get away with bad shortstop play in baseball at the defensive position. Or it's very hard to. Maybe you can get away with it some teams if they're loaded. Maybe. But the Phillies aren't that team. The Phillies are good, but they're not like the Dodgers, where the Dodgers might have a couple players here or there that are weak or weak defensively, but they're so much better than everyone that it's not going to really kill them.
Especially when you look at the way this thing is going to probably play out. You know, you talk about the Mets. The Braves are surging right
yep.
now.
Yep, Braves won again.
The Braves are surging. They won last night. And, you know, I know it's still early to start looking at other people's grass, but what you said early, before the season start, you said it only might be one team come out of the East.
Yep.
That might be the case. So that's why last night's game was so crucial. And I understand it's just one game and we still have a lot of baseball left to play. But to your point, this team has somewhere that they're trying to be. You can't have errors like that could potentially cost you the game. See, that's what we're talking about. This is a whole lot of what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is today. This is a whole lot of what ifs. What if he didn't make the play. What if we don't steal the base at the end and, you know, we lose that game? Now you're looking at it and it's a totally different conversation. I think the caller that just called would feel a lot different if we lost the game, and that's the one thing that is burned into your
yep.
psyche when you see that play. When you see that error like that egregious error back-to-back, then it changes the way you think about certain
not,
things.
Not back-to-back.
Back-to-back, I mean, yeah, going back-to-back. That's the only time it's bad to go back-to-back.
That, I agreed. Wow. I mean,
I guess it depends. It depends on your age.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you gotta take
care
of yourself.
Give it that old college try.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could do that. And they could, the Phillies give it the college try and tell Trey Turner to put an outfield glove on and get to the outfield. I just can't believe a team that says they have World Series aspirations is just so nonchalant about this. It stinks. It stunk since the minute he got here. He can't play the position. And you could say, well, Joe, what are you going to do? Well, they have a better... They may have two better shortstops on the team. You know, Kyle brought up different options. Like, there's not one option. I think the outfield is the most logical one. That's what I would do, because I would just play Sosa's shortstop. Sosa's hit well this year. Hasn't played much the last 3 weeks as he's cooled off, because they really just haven't used him. You could play Sosa. You could put Trey in the outfield, and you could avoid the issue they got with ever Rojas or maybe Marsh eventually down the line is. Or you could put Stott there. Like, I'm open to anything. He's the third best shortstop on his own team, and he plays there every day. It's mind-boggling for a team that says they're trying to win the World Series. Frank in Wilmington. What's up, Frank?
What's up, fellas? Good morning, man.
Good morning, Frank.
Yo, how y'all doing?
Good.
I just want to say before I get into this, I appreciate you guys being secretly the best show on the station without the hubris. That's all I'm saying. Afternoon show's got a lot of hubris. But I will say this, and I'm gonna tell you why Trey Turner is bad, but I'm going to tell you why from the top down.
Okay.
The entire organization needs to be overhauled, okay?
Yeah.
Kevin Long, not a good hitting coach. We've been having these woes for like 3 or 4 years of the guys just chasing anything low and outside the zone, and nobody's made any concessions to make it better. Fix the hitting coach. I looked up who our pitching coach was.
Caleb Cotham. Like, Cotham.
Yeah, I looked it up. He had like 4 games in the MLB. He pitched for Cincinnati and the Yankees for like 2 games, and he was gone since. So get a new pitching coach in there too. Because you can't even have like 5 games and a losing record. You got to go on my book. I don't think you're a good coach. I do believe, now I'm going to say this, I do believe Johan Rojas is getting the short end of the stick, because everybody's like, oh, he's bad, but he doesn't get a lot of reps because they were so big on Marsh for some reason, and Marsh took a lot of his reps in center field. So I believe that Rojas doesn't have the experience being in center field enough to know when to make those mistakes or when not to make those mistakes that he does. I like him a lot. I think he's good, but you got to give him time to develop. They haven't done that. They're so busy trying to make Marsh work when he clearly doesn't. And that's on management, because you just keep trying to make things work that shouldn't work, which leads me to my next point. Trey Turner should never been signed in Philadelphia. Like, the first thing that happened was he got a no-trade clause, so we can't get rid of him if he wanted to, which is already a bad thing. The second thing behind it is he's not actively getting better, and he's declining as a player over the course of time. His fielding has not gotten better since he's been here. His arm has been a noodle since he left Washington. And it's just been a bad overall thing, and I'm still very upset that we decided to give him a standing ovation in the second year after the World Baseball Classic. So here's my thing. We made the World Series in 22. We signed Trey Turner that offseason. We've been declining ever since. I don't know if the problem is Trey Turner, but I have a very concrete thing that I can point to be like, hey, we haven't won anything since you got here. So you've made our team progressively worse.
Well, yeah, he was, Frank, he was supposed to be the missing piece, like the thing to get him over the top. And instead, they've gone the other way. I mean, in the postseason, they've gone the other way. Frank, man, we appreciate the phone call. And that is on Dabrowski. I mean, it is. The biggest thing he did since he got here was sign Trey Turner, and Trey Turner has not lived up to what he was supposed to be. And I think we overlook something. The Phillies overlook something when they signed Trey Turner. Hugh, the Dodgers could pay whoever they want. Anyone, right? They have the money to pay. They paid Ohtani. They paid Freeman. They paid Betts. They traded for Turner for a half a season, and he was a free agent. They didn't make him an offer. Like, in retrospect now, it does make you wonder, like, they saw something, right? They saw that he was a good player, but probably not a shortstop. He wanted to play shortstop, and they were like, no. We're not even making you an offer. Speaking of Dave Dombrowski, let's hear from Dombrowski in spring training when the whole Turner shortstop thing came up. Last time Dave spoke about it, here it was.
Did the organization promise Trey Turner that he'd be the shortstop for a long time? Is the organization concerned about approaching him to move to the outfield?
Well, the way I would say, when we signed him as a shortstop, and we told him that he would be our shortstop, and we felt that way. But if we don't think Trey Turner is capable of playing good shortstop, and you have to remember it's defense and offense that combines there, too. No, we'd move him off a shortstop, but that would be the way it is. Now, he wouldn't per se like it, and you wouldn't just wake up one day and say, we're moving you, you'd do the proper steps. But no, there's no promises that he would be our shortstop for the future.
I hope Dave meant what he said, because there's no way. Dave Dombrowski's been in baseball 40 years. There's no way he could think what we're seeing right now is good shortstop play. I mean, there's just no way he believes that.
Yeah, that had to be tough to watch last night, especially from a season. But how long has Trey been in the league?
Trey came up in 2016.
That's math, Joe.
About 9 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's too long.
Nine, 10 years. Yeah, it's been a while. You go okay over there?
I'm just saying.
2025
no, he said, minus. But no, Kyle, he said it like, he said 2016, like, I'm going to do the math in my head. But I'm not doing that.
Well, that one wasn't that hard, man.
No, I'm just saying, okay, well, you do it, dude. Right. Well, it's not, okay, well,
9
six,
years, buddy.
2016, yeah. 2020, five, 2025. Yeah, okay, that, I guess.
That one's
I just didn't feel like doing math.
What's wrong with you? To start the day today.
I didn't feel like doing math. Some mornings you wake up, you don't feel like thinking as much.
I'm just surprised you didn't know it was Wednesday.
Well, because you know what it was, Joe? I was trying to process that whole Trey Turner thing I saw last night and was wondering how this show was going to go.
You are such an excuse maker.
I am not making an excuse.
So
it's
busy
the truth.
Processing Trey Turner that you forgot what day it was?
I tried to be as informed as I possibly can.
You're
when
not
I make
even informed on what day of the week it is.
No, because I forgot. I was
Look
too
at
busy
a calendar.
I was too busy thinking about baseball.
I give you all the information you need. This guy stinks at shortstop. That's all you
I don't
need.
Know, see, but you're too emotional sometimes.
Emotional? So
you do skew a little emotional. You're a little emotional, a little bit.
What am I
Kyle?
Supposed to say?
No,
you know
I
what?
Mean,
shut
I'm
up.
With you today.
I'm
with you today.
I'm actually less mad at Trey, and I'm more mad at two different groups.
Who you mad at?
The Phillies.
You people?
And Hugh Douglas.
No, oh, and not, well, what Hugh's part of this. For everyone last year who said this isn't a big deal.
Oh, so I told you so Gilio today.
Yes! Yes! I told you so for years on Trey Turner. I've been trying to say this for years. Oh, okay. It's 2 months. How could you wave a magic wand? Well, I have eyes. Okay, he can't play shortstop at a high level. Oh, how could you move him off a shortstop? He makes $300 million. I don't care. He can't play the position.
Last night was bad.
Last night was terrible, but it's a microcosm of years.
His entire tenure as the Philly shortstop has been bad.
No, but last night, and you know how certain times when things happen, you kind of let it go. Well, oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
But last night, that was the worst back-to-back that I've ever seen. That was the absolute worst.
Been a lot of back-to-back talk on this show the last week or so. Scott and King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hey, Scott.
So, Big Hugh, you're finally on board. You're seeing what we see, huh?
The last horse has crossed the finish line. He's here. Uh-huh.
Hey, Scott. Oh, now, as I told you, so Gillio and I told you so, Scott.
Oh, Scott.
Today.
I mean, Scott was the first one on this.
Okay, fine, Scott. I can see. You guys have it today. You got it.
All right. Well, I've been banging this drum since we acquired Sosa. Just to remind everybody, the Dodgers did want to sign Trey Turner, but they wanted to sign him as an outfielder. Their evaluators evaluated him as an outfielder, and their evaluators were correct. Our evaluators, however, are incorrect, and not only are they incorrect, they're so damn stubborn that they're digging their heels in, that they're willing to put a substandard fielder out there while you have an above-average fielder on the field at the same exact damn time playing second base. It is stupid. It is pure stupidity. I've been railing about this. I'm so happy that the general public is now on board. When are the Phillies going to wake up and get on board? I understand you're not going to move him to the outfield because that's too much in season. But damn it, he's a shortstop. He can play second base. Wake up. You guys need to do your damn jobs. We're doing a better job telling you how to do your jobs.
Pretty solid.
Scott, I'm telling you, it's about time. It is about time the Phillies get on board and figure this out. Scott, we appreciate the phone call. It's about time. Scott's been on this for a long time. I mean, there's no question he's been on this a long time. And again, this is now more on the Phillies to change. I mean, what is Trey Turner going to do? I mean, he said he worked hard this offseason. He probably did. It doesn't matter. He's going to go out there and play shortstop as long as his name's penciled in at shortstop. It's on the Phillies now between Topper and Mosley Nombrowski to fix the problem that they created here. This guy, I'm going to put it very simply for everyone and for the Phillies. They will not win a World Series with him at shortstop. That's it. So we can waste this season or we can get on changing it. Their choice. I've already told you what's going to happen. Ken in Mays Landing. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how's it, guys?
Hey, Ken. What's
up? What's going on, man?
And you're making nothing is very hard, Hugh. I hate it, too. But anyway, this dude is getting paid millions and millions of dollars. Be a selfless person. Do what's best for the team. We've got an outfield issue, and we've got an infield issue. We've got a dude sitting on the bench who can make this work. Go do what's best for the team. Do what's best for the city. Do what's best for yourself, frankly. And also, that whole word process, can we ditch that? Because there's a three-word phrase that, you know, I'll give you a little huge clue what that three-letter phrase is. I never want to hear that phrase associated with another Philadelphia team ever again. So can we use, like, start the steps in the right direction or, you know, move in a different direction rather than start the process?
Yeah, we're done with processes around here. Yeah, no more processes. We did that.
No more processes. So can we just eliminate that from our vocabulary if possible?
Yeah. Yeah, how about to the outfield? How about those three words right there? Go to the outfield.
I love it, Joe. I love it. Forget about it. It's over. This is cattywampus. It's got to end. Everything is silly, and it's got to – there's something has to be adjusted. We can't be watching errors. We costing Wheeler wins. We're costing Nola wins. We're costing the bullpen integrity, and everything's getting silly. I mean, not for nothing, Kerkren gave up that homer, but the game should have been over.
And Ken, we had a call a few minutes ago about the bullpen, and Ken, good phone call. It's not good, but you're making their life harder. If we can't turn routine plays into outs, well, we know a lot of these guys aren't that good, so they're going to get up hits after that. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your calls on Trey Turner next. Is it time to move him off a shortstop? It's past time for me. This should have been done a while ago, but now we can't avoid this anymore. Is it time to move Trey off a shortstop? Plus, some Eagles news this morning. We'll hit that next as well. Do we like the move the Eagles made this morning? That's next. Your calls. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. Not just any bacon. We're talking about Hatfield bacon, from classic hardwood smoked bacon to sweet maple brown sugar, even extra thick cut bacon and applewood smoked bacon. Every slice is packed with flavor. You can put it on your burger, you can level up your breakfast, or you can snack it straight from the pan. No judgment from me. Treat yourself, people. Grab some Hatfield bacon today and taste the difference. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.